is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In a world that now boasts 1 billion Facebook users, for many, it's more challenging than ever to keep their personal lives, well, personal.
Social media, from Facebook to Twitter to instant messaging, have radically changed the way we establish and maintain relationships. And that includes romantic relationships, which is where this discussion can get really complicated.
And here's a case in point. If you break up with someone in the real world, can you still be a friend in the Facebook world? And what happens when a friendship on Facebook or Twitter or a texting relationship interferes with a personal, real-world relationship? Well, joining us now to talk more about the ways social media can complicate romantic relationships is Meredith Goldstein. She's the Boston Globe columnist and author of the Love Letters blog. Meredith, welcome back to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So you received a plea for help from a woman who's worried about her boyfriend's online relationship with an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Tell us about this.
Yeah, this woman has a boyfriend whose ex-girlfriend continues to click like, meaning, you know, anything he posts on Facebook, she'll like it. And basically, the girlfriend is watching the boyfriend's ex like everything he does on Facebook. And, you know, beyond that, he's also texting the girlfriend, which is the ex-girlfriend, which is a whole other story. But her question to me was, is it appropriate, you know, that her boyfriend has an ex who's commenting on his Facebook status, who's liking it, who's involving herself in his Facebook world?
So she's asking you if it's appropriate. And of course, she's bothered by it.
Of course.
And she's sort of
watching it. Yeah.
She's sort of tormented that she is bothered by it, but
yes,
she's finally got to the point where it's just like, I'm really bothered by it. It won't stop. So what's your advice?
Well, you know, I'd like to think of Facebook, and I think, unfortunately, in the minority here, where Facebook to me is a new part of your world, but I don't like to do things on Facebook that I wouldn't do in the real world, which means that if I wouldn't yell something to someone in a crowded room, I'm not going to write it on their wall. Secrets are secrets. Pictures that are meant to be private should be private. So, you know, it seems to me like this guy needed to limit his interaction with his ex. I think a lot of people feel as though they have to leave old friends and exes, you know, in their pool of Facebook friends. In my opinion, they don't. And they absolutely can set boundaries and say, you know, I'm limiting access to certain people. I'm, you know, narrowing my Facebook pool to just real friends. I think too many people have 1,000 acquaintances on there.
One of the questions that she put to you, I think one of the things she said in the letter, if I have this right, is she asked the boyfriend to sort of, she said, put yourself in my shoes. How would you feel about it if I was doing the same thing to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And he pretty much acknowledged that.
He totally acknowledged it. And yeah, in their specific case, you know, it seems like this woman is also asking for more attention outside of Facebook, through text, through calls. But, you know, Facebook to me is, you know, you're either the kind of person who uses it so rarely that it sort of doesn't matter, or you actively use it, in which case you need to limit your Facebook world to people you really know and want to be a part of your life.
Well, it's an interesting question. And listeners, we want to hear from you. What do you think about keeping in touch with ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends on Facebook? Is it deceptive, or is worrying about it just a waste of time? Have you or your partner had this conversation? If so, did you reach a compromise, or did you defriend your ex? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And I want to introduce Dr. Rachna Jain. She's a clinical psychologist who writes about the interconnections of neuroscience, psychology, and social media. She studies the way social media are changing our relationships, and she joins us now from Gaithersburg, Maryland. And Dr. Jain, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your take on this particular quandary that Meredith encountered in this letter?
Yes, and I actually would agree with what Meredith said. I do think that Facebook and other social media offers a unique challenge to the idea of beginning and ending relationships. For me, when I read the letter, the fact that it's bothering the woman who wrote in, that's the most important factor to me. So whether or not I think the boyfriend should stop or not, the fact that it's bothering the girlfriend so much, I think, is the first key point to pay attention to. So I would start there, that it is a problem because it's bothering her.
Mm. Now, I completely agree with that. I'm struck by a couple of things in this case, and I want to get both your take on this, Meredith and Dr. Jain. On the one hand, I agree with you, Doctor. It's easy to be hard on the guy for maintaining this relationship in a way that his partner finds upsetting. I get that. On the other hand, his partner seems to be spending an awful lot of time trolling his Facebook page.
I mean,
that's sort of strange to me.
It is and it isn't.
Or may not strange, perhaps potentially unhealthy.
It can be absolutely unhealthy. And as we all know, with the internet, you inevitably sit down and Google your boyfriend, an ex-boyfriend, a girlfriend, their ex-girlfriend. You know, we have access to too much information these days. I don't necessarily think it's unique what this woman is doing. And frankly, if she's active on Facebook, she's certainly going to see someone liking her boyfriend's status over and over again. You do have to limit your stalking, certainly, but that's difficult to do. And I think that it's right to say that if it bothers your partner, you have to decide how worth it is it to keep this person as a Facebook friend.
Sure. Dr. Jane,
Yes, and I would agree. I do think it begs the question of how much she's spending time on Facebook. But I think even more than that, it looks at how much is she weighting what he's doing online based on what he's doing compared to what he's doing with her. And clearly, my feeling is that there may be some difficulties in their relationship that they need to look at and talk about, because it sounds like certain things have happened that have made her feel really insecure, and I think the Facebook is becoming a bit of a smokescreen for that feeling of unhappiness or insecurity.
Yeah, that's a great point. And in the same way, sometimes our Facebook profiles can imply that we are happier than we are, or that we are interested in our friends more than we are. I know many times I've looked at my friend's vacation photos and thought, oh, they had such a good time, only to find out that they had a terrible time. So she might be sort of creating a narrative in her head about his level of interest in this ex-girlfriend.
Absolutely. And I think the other piece with that is that I think sometimes people overweight the like. They make the like so significant, which it may not be.
Well, let's take a couple of calls. We've got some people who want to chime in on this conversation. Let's go to Zach, who's calling from Wayland. Hi, Zach. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to call in and comment on, I sort of think that this is has an age difference. I'm in my 20s, and I feel like Facebook is just something you post on whether or not you're in a relationship, whether you've had an ex, or what have you, and it doesn't really matter what you say, and I completely agree with the previous comment that this woman probably had other issues going on in the relationship and was using the Facebook posts and likes and things like that is a way to talk about issues in the relationship, but I don't think that was the main issue.
So you don't think the main issue is the boundaries that sort of need to be respected on Facebook when a status of a relationship changes in the real world, in the real world?
No, I completely disagree. I think that like a public profile and adding things and having people like your pictures and things like that's sort of why we have Facebook, or at least I feel like that's what my generation thinks.
Zach, I really appreciate the perspective. Dr. Jane, love you to comment on Zach's comment. I mean, sort of talking about a generational divide and different perception there.
Definitely. And I would agree that Zach raises a really good point that different people use Facebook differently. The part that I'd highlight, though, is that there is a distinction between digital relationships and real-life relationships. And even if anybody, no matter what their age, if they had a boyfriend or a girlfriend who was doing something that was upsetting to them, that's a relational issue no matter how old you are.
Interesting. Let's take another call. John is calling from Boston. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
I was just going to say, my girlfriend and I, we had sort of a similar problem where, you know, we both had exes on our Facebook pages, and we decided that if I sacrificed mine and unadded her, and she would sacrifice her ex and unadd him. So that was one way that we, you know, decided to kind of deal with the issue of, you know, seeing things and getting jealous and say, oh, so, you know, he's liking my post and all this, you know.
So they're gone. You've pressed the big delete button.
You've done it.
Yeah, I mean,
and you've maintained peace in peace in our time, in our home. Well done, well done, John. Dr. Jane, does that sound like a good route to go to you?
I think it sounds like a great route to go because there was a discussion and there was a compromise, and then they both agreed and took the action.
Now, considering the amount of time that many people spend on social networks, Rachna Jane, I'm wanted to ask you. This must be much more common these days than it used to, these kinds of dilemmas facing people.
I think that it is more common these days, but I think the important thing to realize is that social media only makes it easier to connect with people. It doesn't change whether people want to connect or not. I mean, there's almost a billion users on Facebook, and not everybody is using it to solely, you know, connect with an ex or, you know, do things in their relationship that they wouldn't do in real life. So I think the problem is rising because there's an ease of access, but sure. I don't think social media is the reason these things are happening.
Well, this sort of leads to my next question. It's a sort of tangential or sort of related issue, but we came across an interesting survey by the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers who found that over 80% of their members now use evidence, if you will, from Facebook in divorce proceedings.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
But what does that tell you about Facebook's influence in romantic relationships? Or even as a catalyst for relationships going bad.
I mean, as an advice columnist, I'll say that at least 60% of my letters involve Facebook or social media in some way. Many of the letter writers just want to know if their person is cheating. You know, mm-hmm. does this count as cheating? I found that my wife is, you know, emailing a high school boyfriend through Facebook. What does that mean? So it does not shock me at all to know that. Not only is it a cause of many of these problems, but that it winds up as evidence. And actually, I was laughing today at one of my online commenters on Love Letters. They kept calling it Cheatbook instead of Facebook. And I can't say I totally disagree.
Yeah. And Rachna Jain, how about you? I mean, is it fair to talk about this as the cause of cheating and of problems?
I don't think it's fair to talk about it as the cause. It's sort of like saying, because you have stairs in your house, that's why you fell down them. I mean, you know, it's sort of like saying, like, the stairs can be used in multiple different ways. And so, again, I think it's really important to separate the medium from the behavior. I do agree that people are using social media for all kinds of different activities, but I don't think that it's the cause of these problems. And I think, to Meredith's point that she made a little while ago, you know, using it as evidence, people are portraying their life in a particular way. And we have to be careful that we don't assume that because it's on Facebook, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Let's try to squeeze one more call in. Lee is calling from Concord. Hi, Lee. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
So I'm calling because, actually, I think the stairs analogy really links to it. That, you know, 15 years ago, when you break up with someone, really the only way you can contact them again is by maybe asking their friends, you know, how's my ex doing, or calling them. But now with Facebook, it's like when a relationship ends, you can still always keep tabs on them whenever you get that urge to figure out what they're doing. And it makes it a lot harder to move on.
Or I would also say that it makes it easier to stop yourself from romanticizing. I mean, if you don't know where an ex has gone, you can imagine that they're still perfect and wonderful and as you left them. But I have to say, I've got a few ex-boyfriends on my Facebook page, and I get the evidence right in front of me that I don't want to go back.
Meredith, what kind of response have you had from your readers to this letter?
They think it's inappropriate to insert yourself into someone's Facebook life, and they were very supportive of the letter writer who felt uncomfortable. And I will say that even, you know, readers in their 20s and younger, perhaps, felt like if it makes you feel weird in real life, that's what counts.
Yeah. And Dr. Jain, I want to ask you this as well. I mean, it does seem that texting, Facebook, friending, all this does pose this risk of making it easier. And I think you've written about this, of sort of overestimating or misinterpreting the levels of intimacy that are involved in whatever is written, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I have written about that because I think what happens is it's so easy to get caught up in the excitement and the energy and sort of the real-time, just-in-time input. But we all have to remember that no matter how many friends we have on Facebook, the bulk of them are not going to populate our daily lives. And it's the people that we share our daily lives with, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, our husbands, our wives, our partners, that they're the people that really create our true intimacy with us.
All right. That's Dr. Rachna Jain. She's a clinical psychologist. She's written about the ways in which social media affect our personal relationships. And Dr. Jain, thank you for joining us today. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
And Meredith Goldstein, columnist for the Boston Globe and author of the Love Letters blog. Meredith, always nice to see you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Listeners, you can keep this conversation going on Facebook. Where else? At RadioBoston.org. No matter what, we always welcome your comments, your criticisms, even your expressions of affection, which we promise not to take too seriously. Stay with us. Coming up, can lobsters save a town in Maine? I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.